We read in the Old Testament in the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Then the New Testament, Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11 and verse 28. Come to me, all ye who labour and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The invitation today is still come. God's desire is for persons to come into blessing. We spoke this afternoon of what was there in the garden. Perfection, and then sin came in. Man was at a distance from God. Judgment could have come in at that time, I suppose. There was what happened in the blocking of the garden and so on, and all that the labours that were put on mankind. But God has spoken right down through the ages, right down to the present time, and he's still saying, come, come. I like that hymn, all things are ready, come. The invitation's given. Other hymns say, no need now to labour, the work has been done. To be in God's favour, believe in the Son. Isaiah has got some very interesting writings, as we know. He's spoken of as the evangelist of the Old Testament. I nearly read that verse early in the book. Come now, let us reason together. God, think of God reasoning with his creature. Come now. It's something I've been thinking about, that just the word come. I think it was probably we read recently in Matthew, and Peter was going to walk on the waters, Jesus, and he started to sink. He did it. He walked on the water, and then Jesus had said, he said, command me to come to thee upon the waters. And Jesus said, come, come. He started to walk, and then he looked about him, and he saw it was water, waves, tree, wind, and all these things, all the troubles, and he began to sink. And he says, Lord, save me. And Jesus touched him, lifted him up. He went into the boat, and he was saved. And Jesus says to him, were ye of little faith, why didst thou doubt? Peter, he got his eye off the Lord. How easy it is to do that. The glad tidings, it's God's glad tidings concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The message, the glad tidings hasn't changed. It's you can sum up in a verse There's various verses through the scriptures. Believe in the Lord Jesus and thou shalt be saved. Simple. Because it's all to do coming to Jesus. You might say, well, what's that got to do with Isaiah 55? But just there it speaks of come. Come ye, buy meat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. You think of, well, today if you said that, there's a special situation where things won't cost you anything. The cost of living is such, you hear so much about it, without money, without price. You don't have to pay for it. You might say it's like heaven's food bank. The provision, everything's been provided, and the blessings are available to all men. Everyone that thirsts, oh, everyone that thirsts, come, come. God is looking. God is taking account of his creature. You think of the troubles, the trials, the tribulations that are about, but the invitation to poor, needy souls today is come. It goes on to speak of why, wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? How much effort goes into things which don't bring in salvation or blessing? You think of the expenditure that's made in certain things in the world today. They will try this and they will spend money to do this. And what happens? So much of it, failure. So what man does, so much of it fails. With God, there is no failure. No failure. Everything is perfect. Because it's through him and the work of Christ that salvation and blessing, salvation is available to all men. He does not will the death of any, but that all should come to repentance. All should come to repentance. That's everyone, this room, everyone in Aberdeen, everyone throughout the world. You say, well, what but them? What but them? All men, God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, to come. There's so many that they came to Jesus. And I can't remember exactly which scripture. They came to him even by night. And it says, he healed them all. Healed them all. So much is said about waiting times for hospitals and other things, but he healed them all. Divine grace, you might say, is not limited in any way. The outpourings of divine grace, divine love, have been expressed in the giving of Christ. He gave his only begotten Son. His only begotten Son. All that God could do, we say reverently, he gave of his very best that blessing might be available to all men. Think of that. Oh, the whole world. It says in the scriptures, what is there? The whole world lies in the wicked one. Think of the power of Satan that has brought in so much devastation and fear and tribulation, wars, rumours of wars, all these things. And yet God in his grace continues to speak, continues to give that message, that invitation, come. Think of Jesus and his the many days Somebody said, I think, that the scriptures, the gospels only account for 11 days in the life of Jesus. I don't know how accurate that is, but I think the idea is so much has been, was condensed in the life of Jesus. These 3.5 years where he expended so much to bring the love of God to his creature and to make them known that God's desire was that person should come. Quite a number of situations in the gospel, they came to him, they gathered to him, they wanted to hear this word. What a saviour he is. How could God bring in salvation for mankind? So much had failed. So many problems. You trace the history of the children of Israel and all that God did. If you look at the beginning of Ezekiel, God speaking to Ezekiel, says, this is a rebellious people. That's man naturally. The heart of man is rebellious. Your heart, my heart, rebellious. We want to do our own thing. That goes for old and young, that we want to do what we like. But God's word is come. Come to Jesus. That's why I read in Matthew 11, a well-known scripture, well-known verse, come unto me. All ye who labour and are burdened, and I will give you rest. The invitation, come. Rest from your labours, rest from all that's around. Because the only one that can provide peace and rest is Jesus. It wasn't an easy thing, I say reverently, for that to be provided for your salvation, for my salvation. He had to suffer. He had to die. He had to give himself. The only sinless, perfect one. He offered himself without spot to God. Without spot. There was nothing in Jesus that was in any way not according to God's will. Everything there was perfect. But he had to suffer and to die. You think of the opposition that he had in his pathway here. The scribes, the Pharisees, the doctors of the law, the soldiers, those that humiliated him. And then before Pilate, before Herod, and all these things, he speaks that he could have called 12 legions of angels. But he didn't. I think the hymn writer says, yet onward to the cross, onward still to go, that you might say reverently, that his eye was fixed on that point when he would have to suffer and to die. That invitation of come could be made today. We're talking about what happened nearly 2,000 years ago. And yet that word is still the same. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Think of the disturbances of persons, as Matthew wrote, in these words. But think of the turbulence and the tribulation, the distress we've just witnessed this year, and the devastation that's come in, either by warfare or natural disasters. Persons ushered into eternity like that. God's invitation through the glad tidings is still come. come unto me, and I will give you rest. Where can persons find rest? It's in him, in Jesus. The one who suffered, the one who died, the one who shed his blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. No remission. That blood had to be shed. The type is, and as we know from Exodus, as it says, the blood was smeared on the doorpost and the lintel, and the destroying angel went over the land of Egypt. And he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Think of coming under the shelter of the blood. Salvation is in none other. None other. No other name. Peter speaks of that at the beginning of the act. No other name given under heaven among men by which ye must be saved. You've got to be saved. If you're not saved, you're lost. Does God desire that? As I've said, he doesn't will the death of any. But man has to come, really, traditionally, man wants to go his own way. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man. The end thereof is the ways of death. But God wants persons to come, put their in repentance towards himself, and put their faith and trust in Christ, in the Lord Jesus. It's a simple message. It's a simple way. Find rest for your souls. Think of it, finding rest and peace in a world which is full of unrest, full of terrors and horrors, all these things. But to find rest and peace in him, the one who suffered. He was hanging there upon that cross, and the mocking, and they were shouting at him to come down from the cross, and they would believe in it, so on. But then Jesus says, it is finished. It is finished. The work had been done. The 3 hours of darkness, who can understand it? Who can enter into it? None. Human eye was not allowed to see these things. But it was for you and for me that Jesus died. What a Savior. The invitation is still the same. Come. Come to Jesus. If you've never done it before, come to him. Find rest. What does it say? I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls, for my yoke is easy. Learn from me. I suppose the younger ones, they go to school to learn, and they listen. Well, come to Jesus and learn what a teacher he is, what a Savior he is, what a wonderful invitation he gives. Come to me and prove rest. Find the salvation which is in none other. It's only in him. Those that came to him in the Gospels found, as I think quite a number were told by Jesus after they had been healed, saved, or whatever. He says, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Think of the turbulence in souls. It's been witnessed by many down through the years. The recording of persons who have been going down one pathway of away from God, doing their own thing, and then being brought in to accepting Christ as Savior, realizing that there's nothing in me, nothing in the human mind and heart that's acceptable to God, which is not through Christ. The flesh, everything in that line, has got no place with God. He's looking upon persons and he's seeing features of Christ. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. It's Sometimes we think it's, I suppose, things are hard, it's difficult. What are we going to do? Keep your eye on the goal. Looking steadfastly on Jesus, the leader and completer of faith. He's the leader. And he's the completer of it. Everything has been done. The work has been done. Jesus did it. He suffered. He died. He shed his blood. He went into death. He came out of it. He's risen. He's at the Father's right hand. But he's still a saviour of sinners. Still ready. Still inviting persons. Come. I just leave these few words with you that we might get a fresh impression of the heart of God and the invitation of Jesus, that we might come to him, put our faith and trust in him, and prove the blessing in so doing. May it be so. For his name's sake.
Amen. Amen.